Hello and welcome to the EuroWhat, episode number 78 for the week of February 24th, 2020. I'm Ben Smith and I'm joined today by Mike McComb. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
We are a pair of Americans trying to make sense of the Eurovision Song Contest, and this week we're hanging out in the eye of the national selection storm.
Woo.
Mike, it's quiet. It's
too quiet.
It is way too quiet. There are 17 artists left to be named and 27 songs yet to be released.
Yeah, my feelings are kind of mixed at this point. Like, it's nice to have a weekend where it's just like, oh, I only have to watch like three or four things instead of like next week and the week after where it's just all of the stuff.
Just wall to wall. Everyone is doing a terrible job on getting their essay about what Eurovision means to them into the ESC.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. Yeah, I'm just kind of luxuriating in this space of, like, we only have a few things to talk about this week.
Yeah, the preview of next week is probably going to be longer than
watched the last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So buckle up, folks. It's going to be a fun one.
I guess if you consider, like, actual broadcast length, it might even out because we have Ukraine and Portugal, which were both very unnecessarily long broadcasts, but we'll get into those.
Yeah, we should. Let's start with that. How was Ukraine, Mike?
Oh, Ukraine's gonna Ukraine. No, yeah, actually, this was a very drama-free Ukraine final.
I feel like that was their main goal this year. It was like, please just not last year. Please.
Yeah, yeah. Avoiding the drama, but also being very, like, they had a mandate to have this be the most Ukrainian entry to send to Eurovision. And I think they succeeded. The show opened with a tribute to Verka Serduchka and her performance of what I call the Ukrainian national anthem of Dancing Lasha Tumbai.
Truly.
Considering that, like, Ukraine has won Eurovision twice, and this song, which was a runner-up, is like the most iconic song in their catalog, is interesting, I think.
Yeah.
And like when I was at the Kyiv contest, I heard this song at official events like, no fewer than 30 times. And that is not an exaggeration. I think if there were a campaign to change the national anthem to Dancing Lasha Tumbai, it might have some traction, but yeah, like the show opened with that, and it was just kind of a tribute to Verka for like 25 years in the biz, whatever the biz is defined for whatever Verka does. But there was a performance of that. There was a performance of Make It Rain Champagne, which some folks thought was going to be like an internal selection or competing at Vidber. But the guy who plays Verka was one of the judges in Vidber. So I don't know. That would have brought controversy back to the process, but was not meant to be. And yeah, so they had like this pretty lengthy jazzy tribute and a lot of other faffing about. The first competitive performance didn't happen until about 47 minutes into the show. So six songs competed, and the one that won the televote and the jury was Goway's Salve.
Salve, salve, не співай раненько, а мені на серденько, знов не веселенько.
Did you get a chance to go back and listen to this performance?
I did.
What did you think?
The song reminded me of Poland, and the staging felt like somebody mashed up Poland last year with Iceland's aesthetic last year
in ways that
worked. Like, I like it.
When this was performed at the semifinal, I kind of had the same initial reaction that I had with Poland's entry last year, where it's like, oh, this is kind of an aggressive sound, but it's been a total earworm like since the final this past weekend. And it's just been like on a loop in my head. And it's like, oh, this is really good. And it kind of reminds me of the song that Serbia sent 2 years ago. If they don't change the song at all, which I'm not expecting them to, it's going to be the first entry that Ukraine has sent that is entirely in Ukrainian. So they definitely hit that mandate of
please represent the nation well.
Yes, yes. I'm really curious how this one's going to work. Like, this one feels like a risk for Ukraine,
yes,
particularly being in the first semifinal, which is going to have a lot of heavy hitters this time around. And I don't think Ukraine ever shies away from risk. So
no, I would fully agree. And again, like visually, I liked this performance a lot. Like they took mm-hmm. what is kind of a very traditional song at its core.
Mm-hmm.
And then with like some choices in the both the production of the song and the production of the staging helped it feel fresh and striking.
I'm very excited to see what this one's going to be like live, particularly yes, with the instrumentation, like the drum use in particular is very catchy.
Yes. I also just really like the shoulder shimmy that the lead singer and her dancers do for like the instrumental portion.
Yes. Yes. it's very of the I'm a little teapot aesthetic that seems to be going around
spreading
this
like
year,
wildfire so. This year. Yeah. Just like remedial dance is great for me. Like I'm looking forward to doing some remedial dance in the arena.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the fact that there are already like three or four entries that have kind of dance moves associated with it, like this is going to be a very well choreographed audience participation event.
Yes, like so. more of this, please. More of this, please.
Overall, it was a pretty good set of performances. The show still went on like crazy long. I think it ended up being like 3.5 or 4 hours. Like it was, we were asking here in Chicago HQ, all right, are we going to get the results from the Nevada caucuses first or the results from Ukraine? And Ukraine had like a 3-hour head start, and I was not sure what the answer was going to be.
Yeah.
That was how Saturday got started here in Chicago. How did your Saturday get started in Boston?
My Saturday started with Slovenia, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It kicked off with the host of their show, Clemens Slakonia, doing Duncan Lawrence's Arcade, like a perfect replica of it in like their weird Thunderdome stage that they mm-hmm. had going on, down to like the light coming down from the ceiling and then like dropping on the piano and creating like a comedy bit. End of performance. He immediately came up and had a comedy style face injury that then got replaced with a comedy size band-aid.
Mm-hmm.
And like they did like the cut to Studio 2 where the host was supposed to be very surprised. Part of it was like it wasn't fully translating for me. Was that a comedy bit or did someone actually get hurt? But then
right
over the course of the series, the injury kept morphing into different injuries.
Yeah. And different locations, like
yes,
there was one point where he was fully healed and then the other part like his face got like half zombied, like other side of the face, like mm-hmm.
I credit them entirely for commitment to the bit, even when mm-hmm. when you're not sure that the bit is working. Later in the show, like there was a bit that definitely worked where again the host just did the medley of songs that is like traditional at like a national final, but like literally did like every single one of Slovenia's last 25 entries.
Mm-hmm.
With the host portraying all of the parts, which was kind of weird at a lot of portions.
Yeah, it really reminded me of like the green screen challenges that they do on RuPaul's Drag Race. Like that, it was that level of production value where it's just,
yes.
Like, it's purposefully bad green screening. And like a lot of the acts, like it was him in drag. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some commitments to like the recreations, like some of them are really good. I think it was maybe a total of 5 wigs that were rotated in and out.
Yeah, like it was like like 5 wigs used very judiciously,
mm-hmm.
and just a lot of wardrobe changes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also funny just because at least 3 of the acts that were being portrayed in this bit were
there
in the studio, so it's just like, oh, that's always like kind of risky, just be like, oh, doing a drag impersonation of like somebody who's in the room. But I think everybody really appreciated it. Like it was well executed for being really, really cheesy. Like I think they struck the perfect tone.
Yeah, it was the perfect combo of good taste and bad taste, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that the Slovenian final worked is there like everybody performed and then the judges selected 2 entries. And then those entries performed again for the televote, and the televote decided the winner. Going into this, the one to beat was Lena Kuduzovic, is Man Like You. And that one ended up in the final along with Anna Soklic, is Voda. And Voda is what won. Voda. Did you have a chance to listen to this, Mike?
Yeah, I ended up switching to the Slovenian final once Ukraine kind of started puttering along. And yeah, it was nice. Like, this is the first time in a few years that I've been able to watch Emma live. And it's also the first time that I realized that it's Emma and not EMA. Like, and I always EMA. Thought it was EMA. And I think of these two choices, this was the correct one to win because it was just such a strong and effortless vocal. It was impressive to watch.
Watching through the first time along with everything else, like, these were the two that stuck out to me. And I think Voda had, like, some very powerful vocals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, like, Man Like You, like, they're still trying to do, like, the sad boy emotions thing. But the way that they did it was just, like, flashing a, like, cutting to camera two and doing an overlay of, like, a sad boy. And it was just like,
yeah,
very
yeah,
ridiculous.
Like the staging but... needed work. I preferred it a little bit more song-wise, though. Like, it felt more current.
I would agree with
Voda,
that.
Voda, I feel like, is something that I've heard, you know, in the last 3 to 5 years at Eurovision, whereas Man Like You felt a little bit more what's happening in pop music right now.
Yeah. I totally agree that Voda is of a type of song that frequently appears at Eurovision, but I'm surprised that it's the first one of this year's field to be of that style. Like,
I would agree.
Yeah, like, Norway's isn't quite that, and Albania's not quite that either. They're close. Like, they're like, maybe second cousins or something.
Yeah, they're neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, this was just, like, a strong vocal ballad. But it's done very well. So, yeah, I think it's going to also depend on what the final version is going to be like, if it's going to stay in Slovene or if it's going to be translated to English or...
Well, it was originally written in English and then translated into Slovenian for the contest. So, yeah, like, I think it remains to be seen what the final version is going to be language-wise, whether it is all English or stays in Slovenian or is some sort of combination of both.
Yeah. Like, I could see the chorus staying in Slovenian just because Voda translates to water, and water is just not a very melodic word. So.
It truly is not.
I'm not sure this one is going to win Eurovision, but I think this one's going to be an interesting entry to watch.
Agreed. Elsewhere this weekend was the last of the initial heats of Melfest.
Woo!
My radar was completely off for this week of, like, when I had my ranking of, like, okay, these are going to be the five, and then these are going to be the four in some order. Because, like, the thing I liked, and we'll get to that later, did not qualify at all. At all. And I was just like, what? But what did qualify is Hannah Ferm's Brave, which she was favored heavily with the bookies before she performed the song.
Okay.
So it did not surprise me that she went through directly. And then Victor Krohn is going through to the final with Troubled Waters. I don't know. I'm still thinking about that one and how I feel about that one. I think I like Storm better. I like the staging of this more.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think this is a much better song than Storm. Like, listening to these studio tracks.
Yeah, because, like, the live version was rough.
Yeah, from what I've read, it seems like the flu or something was going around in Malmo, so...
Well, that does not surprise me. They're also getting hit with a massive storm.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But speaking of Troubled Waters, it was pouring outside the Malmo Arena.
Oh, geez. And, I mean, it's also Victor Krohn. I think he just gets a little too amped up with live performing and just, like, tries to put some mustard on, and the mustard bottle explodes.
I have been there. I have done that. I know exactly what it's like to just suddenly get a surge of nerves in a positive way and just have to, like, ride that out and calm yourself down. My main takeaway with Hannah Ferm's Brave is, remember at the Norwegian final where we were real scared about Pray For Me and, like, all of its TNT
drama-ness? Yeah.
Hannah Ferm saw that and said, hold my aquavit. Because this one has, like, big, big TNT energy as well.
Yeah.
And I don't like it at all.
Yeah, I skipped Melfest this week and was just kind of catching up on stuff because all the videos are now available on YouTube and all the songs are available on Spotify. Yeah, just kind of listening back to it, it's like, huh. I'm surprised there's so much hype about this one compared to so many of the other entries.
This is another one where the writers beforehand are just gassing themselves up about, although this one was less about we're talking so much about important social issues. This one was just like, this one's like kind of spooky. It's not really that spooky. Like, they're just like, this is kind of a spooky metaphor because we're talking about stepping on ghosts. It's like, no,
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh man, no, you were yo like,
do not talk to songwriters. That is the lesson here.
Also, well, and like normally I can't understand what they're saying because it's in Swedish, but this is another one where it's like an American, or at least an American co-writer, or someone whose primary language is English.
Okay.
And like every time that one of them talks, I'm just like, please don't. Please don't. I do not want to know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
I can't get excited about the song, can't get excited about the staging.
Yeah.
They have dressed her like Jessica Mauboy from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like down to the dress. And yeah, it's just not, no, no. It's not top of the bookies right now, which eases me a bit. But yeah, like I'm not excited about that one in the final.
Yeah.
Going on to Andre Chanson, we have Frida Orn's We Are One, which I thought was a fun performance, and Ellen Benediktsson and Simon Perron's Surface, which they were singing real close at one another's faces, so good for them.
Yeah.
Just like towards the end of it, I'm like, just kiss already.
Aw, no. Do they have chemistry? I did not watch this performance. So.
Well, I mean, like, it was, all of a sudden I was like, I need to explain that in context because I did not mean that in the chemistry way. I meant that in the two faces are real close together at Trash Night, so the audience is yelling at them to kiss.
Ah, I way. See. Okay.
Bad movies, everybody. I had, I think, Frida Orn I had potentially as, like, my fifth, as, like, almost getting through, but not quite. That one's fun. And then, like, the other songs that did not go through. So, Nanna Grönvall is a force of nature. She has represented Sweden before. She had a song called Carpool Karaoke, and I was very afraid last week just from the description of that. Luckily, it's in Swedish, so the only things I understood were the phrase Carpool Karaoke and the words James Corden. There's a lot of energy happening in that song. It is sort of a bygone Sweden. It's a very schlager-heavy song, but she sells the hell out of it. Her energy level is somewhere between like a Dolly Parton and a Charo.
Oh. I listened to the studio track, and after hearing it, my immediate reaction was just like, I do not want to see video of this. And,
oh, no. You should have done it the other way around. You should have watched it live and then be like, I have no clue. I have no desire to hear the studio version like I did. She is also a co-writer of my favorite entry from this week, Jacob Karlberg's song, Om du tröter jag saknar dig.
Mm.
That one is a lot of fun. And the performance was spot on for a band because it was like him and like a backing band.
Mm-hmm.
And the staging was referencing Pierre Mondrian's work and like just a lot of great like primary colors, cube shapes. It was fun, and it was in Swedish, which meant that like the odds were against it.
Right.
But it would have been like a nice balance of things, but it placed sixth. So,
Wah-wah.
On the other hand, like last year, I had like three different things I added to my regular rotation playlist that were like that finished dead last in their heat. So
there's always
at least one of those at Melfest.
I mean, it's a pretty strong field this year. Mm-hmm. So like somebody has to finish sixth.
Somebody has to finish sixth and somebody has to finish seventh.
Yeah.
This weekend, looking ahead, is Andre Chanson. And they have already announced the matchups for that. And they kind of feel one sided all the way around. Aniston Demina is versus Ellen and Simon, and I kind of think it's going to lean towards Aniston Demina because that just has a lot of energy behind it.
Oof. I don't know. Like, it sounds so much like that one Macklemore song.
I'm not thrilled about it.
Right.
But like, that's how I would guess that one's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
The one that feels like even more of like an unfair lineup, Felix Sandman is against Frida Orn. I get it. Boys with Emotions is a very important social issue right now, but also, no thank you.
Yeah. I mean, although, is there any opponent that Felix would have been able to face that he wasn't going to win?
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, because like the only one where that would have been a matchup would have been with Malou Prytz, but since they came out of the same semifinal, they would never face each other. So
yeah. Yeah, which Malou Prytz is versus Paul Ray, and that's the one where I could see it really going either way. It's going to depend on the audience because, like, it's not my favorite Malou Prytz song. Like, of the two songs, I think that Talking in My Sleep is stronger to me.
The thing with Talking in My Sleep, though, I feel like that should have been a song given to Victoria or a female singer. It doesn't feel like it is, like, idiosyncratic to Paul Ray, so
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Malou Prytz's Ballerina, which I agree, like, it's not my favorite of hers either, but I think she has more ownership of that song than Paul Ray has of his, but
okay.
Yeah. Also, like, I just really like Malou Prytz, and I want her to be successful.
Yeah, I want her to do well, but I also want her to like escape Melfest and just have a normal pop career.
Yeah.
And then sort of rounding out the matchups is Mendez versus Drangarna, which feels right because both of those are kind of like Mendez has kind of the Latin song. Drangarna has like the weirdly Irish song.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one that does not feel like a one-sided battle. Like that, yeah. that one, it really could be a coin flip. And
yeah, could be either of those. I personally would prefer Drangarna of those two.
Hmm. Yeah, really? I could go either way on these. Like, yeah, I'm not expecting it to like advance out of Andras Hansson and then win the whole thing. So.
Yeah, like that one, honestly, it would, like, I would not hate if it was like, in a surprise twist of events, neither of you is going through, and we are sending both Malu and Paul Ray.
Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you for participating, but also no.
Yeah.
Anyways, that will be Saturday. The other selections this weekend, Mike, how was Portugal? I did not watch any of Portugal because I tapped out after watching Sweden.
What, after like 7 hours of Eurovision stuff, you wanted to take a break? I don't understand. Like there was a like 20-minute gap between Slovenia and Portugal.
You had time for air.
Portugal, it was a really good semifinal. Like the field this year is really strong, and there were 8 acts performing, and they were all very solid performances, and the show was moving along at a really good clip. I would strongly recommend going back to watch the performances, not just the ones that advanced, but like really take the time to watch all 8. Yeah, it really hit a wall when it got to the televoting part. Like, I think the televoting window was longer than the amount of time it took to get through all of the performances. It's just like, why is this taking so long? But of the 4 songs that advanced, Eliza's Medo de Sentir seemed to have the strongest audience reaction. Like, the studio audience was like always cheering when her clip came up in the recap package. So that's probably one to keep an eye out for. I think my favorite performance of the day was Barbara Tinoco's Passe Partout, which was way more French than France's entry this year.
In fairness, that doesn't feel that difficult to do this year.
Yeah. But it was just like just this kind of Broadway influenced number. And there was just this like really cute choreography, and she was in like a really cute dress. And yeah, it was a lot of fun and just a very delightful performance. I think Portugal's going to be spoiled for choice this year, which is very exciting.
I'm now just picturing ways that France is going to make their performance more French to balance out the fact that the chorus is in English. And I'm just picturing them putting him in like a striped shirt and a beret and having him smoking a cigarette while he does it.
Instead of a t-shirt cannon, it's just going to be like a baguette cannon.
Oh, man, they're going to do that so much.
That would be nice, though.
Like, yeah.
I'm always up for snacks, but
yeah. It's bread.
Yeah, I guess the last event from this weekend was Poland, which happened Sunday morning U.S. time. Were you awake for Poland? I was not. So.
I was awake for Poland, and I was watching the Twitter, but I was not watching the actual coverage.
Mm.
I was just mostly just trying to figure out, okay, has Lake Malawi won? Do I get to make like a real complicated flowchart for all of the weird things about this song?
So I do not, much weirdness.
I do not, but let me just quickly run through it now because it does delight me immensely.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lake Malawi, the Czech Republic's entry from last year. We're singing a song co-written by Cesar Samson, who was Austria's representative in 2018. It was co-produced by Joust, who was Norway's entry from that year, if I'm keeping my dates straight.
2017,
there we go. I knew. Yeah. I thought I was one off. They co-produced it. Cesar Samson co-wrote it. And it was about one of the hosts from the Israeli contest in 2019. So just a lot of Eurovision happening at once for about 3 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, just the fact that like there was the whole rules kerfuffle about, well, technically Albert Czerny being the contestant in this process. And then it's be like, surprise, it's Lake Malawi. It's a Trojan
surprise,
horse.
Surprise. It's Albert Czerny and Lake Malawi.
Yeah. Like, it's like, wow. What was the end game here?
So. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel on one hand, like, I'm glad that Poland is trying new things. On the other hand, I still feel like there are so many people who probably had a song in their back pocket who, because they were not good at ABBA karaoke, did not get a chance to perform it, and that doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this process, but I mean, at the same time, like Slovenia's process also kind of weird. So maybe that's also the theme for this weekend.
Also kind of weird, but yeah. Like we got to hear the original songs in Slovenia.
True. And I guess I can't be too judgy about it since I didn't get a chance to watch really any of Poland's show. Yeah. So.
Anyways, so what won?
The song that ended up winning was Alicia Szymplińska's Empires. Burning an empire happened so easy. Play with fire. Maybe it's you and me. Burning an empire. Is it a false we rise and fall? And Alicia's claim to fame prior to this contest was winning the Voice of Poland last fall. And I sort of get that vibe from this track. It does feel kind of like a winner's performance for a reality show. But
yes.
What do you think of the song?
I paid attention to it too much lyrically, largely just because the lyrics were like floating karaoke style behind her as she performed, as they were for all of the songs.
Yes.
The song lyrically kind of doesn't make sense, and it kind of just feels like you're stringing together a bunch of vocal runs. Together with just enough connective tissue to make it into a song. Because, like, it's very vocally impressive, but outside of that, like, it didn't really move me.
Yeah, this is one, I think there's a lot of potential here for this to be, like, the most improved entry from now to May. I agree that the lyrics are riddled with cliches, but if she can get a little bit, like, I keep on wanting to say guttural, and that's not the word that I want, but, like, getting under the Volkswagen of the song and lifting it up to save her child, like, that, getting, like, I don't know, deeper into it, because this feels like drag queen catnip. This is a very drag-friendly performance, and if she can get, like, really get into, like, the diva nature of it, I think this could work. I don't know if that's in her repertoire, though. She's got 2 months to kind of figure all of that stuff out. And I think if she can just like really belt this song, it might do something. But it's just not quite there yet.
And yeah.
I'm curious to see how it grows in the coming months.
Agreed. Yeah, because again, right now it's not doing a lot for me, but let's take a look at the full field because we have 27 songs yet to be revealed. So who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Like we are only at a third of the field being revealed right now.
And they have two weeks left. Two songs a day at this point. And our next ones aren't being announced until, what is it, Thursday?
Was that? Yeah, Mike, you can't see me right now, but I'm doing the Judge Judy animation where she taps on her wrist where her watch is supposed to be and then bangs on the table. Starting this Thursday, we're going to just get to play dodgeball where it's going to just be us getting pelted with red rubber songs from various nations. Germany had already sent out a press release kind of quietly a few weeks ago saying, hello, yes, we will be revealing our song and artist on 227. And we were like, yes, you will. The big news on Saturday was out of nowhere. Apparently on the BBC, there was an announcement that on TV we were going to hear Eurovision news. And Twitter was all abuzz and mostly abuzz with they're just going to tell us when the actual announcement is. And lo and behold, yes, we will find out this Thursday on Radio 1 and 2. Fingers crossed for an Ed Sheeran announcement, Mike, because then we will be very correct about all of the big five. Could you imagine?
We have too much power.
It's immediately gone to our heads. But anyway,
When the announcement about the announcement for the announcement dropped on Twitter, there was just a lot of speculation. It's like, oh, what do you think this is going to be? And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, oh, is the UK going to withdraw? It's just like, because I'm just thinking like, well, they're probably going to want to have an artist that has zero opinion about Brexit and will never be asked about it in interviews. And it just kind of gets them out of the hole. Gets them out of the hole, I guess, for this year. Because it's going to be, it's going to be rough for whoever.
There was like a great article from Vice where they followed Surrey from a few years ago that's been popping up recently that I think just shows kind of the uphill battle, whoever the UK's artist is. And then there was an article in The Guardian this week. It's not a great one. And like it feels very like what they would do about this, where they're just sort of talking about how, oh, well, the UK handed things over to the BMG because they don't trust the British public. It's like, it's not entirely the case.
Yeah.
And also, if you look at something like Sweden, like, they all have record label backing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is not new. If anything, this is good because now it's getting a debut on Radio 1 and 2. That's a big deal.
Yeah, and, like, they're all aspiring pop stars. Like, you want record label backing for that. Like,
yeah. You want an actual support system behind whoever you're sending. You can't just send... You can't just keep sending two randos who have a minimum of actual stage experience and then wonder why you're doing a bad job.
Yeah, like, you can't send us. So, if you wanted to.
I'm going to do a terrible job.
Yeah, yeah. I will reasonable rates. So,
I'm very really
just room
rates.
And board and airfare. That's all I need. So,
yeah.
That's all happening on Thursday. On Friday, Belarus will be having their final. And Serbia will be starting their process. Serbia is going to have semifinals on Friday and Saturday, and then their final on Sunday. Saturday. So along with the Melfest, Andra Johnson, Croatia is going to have its final. And they're being extra helpful by not releasing the songs ahead of time. So I don't know. I guess that guarantees viewership in some way.
I mean, and like, if you look at what else is happening on Saturday, Estonia, we've had those songs forever.
Yeah. I'm very concerned about Estonia this year, because like, their songs came out, I want to say November. It was in calendar year 2019.
It was very early, and I keep forgetting that they haven't actually chosen their song and artist yet, and that feels bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had their semifinals 2 weeks ago. So like, they're like really drawing out this process, and you can just sort of tell from the field that these were songs that were selected within 6 months of Arcade winning. And it's like, it feels very fall 2019. And yeah, I'm just not very optimistic about what is going to come out of that process this time around. Yeah, like they've cut their field of 24 down to 12 at this point, but yeah, nothing's really standing out as compared to like the other songs that have already been selected. I think Estonia may have an uphill battle this time around.
Let's see, elsewhere, Iceland has their final this weekend. I am super excited because I sat down and I looked at what the final five tracks are, and there's a wonderful sense of diversity there, which is all that I'd asked for. So,
yeah.
Hooray! Dadi Freyr is like going viral and seems very taken by all of it, and I kind of love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of nowhere, Russell Crowe tweeted about it, and like, specifically, Russell Crowe linked to like a Dutch Eurovision fan site, so apparently he's just been like a super fan for a while.
Is it out of nowhere? Because there are some like conspiracy theories floating out there, particularly on Reddit, on perhaps Netflix and their money and their whatever their interest is in sponsoring Iceland this year.
On one hand, I get that, because all of a sudden it's this weird dark source of money.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you can't like buy the hearts of Icelandic children who love dancing to the song. You can't like get random radio play in like Germany and the Netherlands. I mean, you actually probably can. It's called payola.
Yeah.
But that feels very weird to do for the Icelandic entry. But no, like, 'cause it's popping up everywhere. The number of streams, the number of people watching the video has spiked dramatically. I've been paying attention to Instagram because it's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And because like, following Hatari's Instagram last year was great, so following this whole thing for both Dothy and the band has been super cool. They did a show last week at Iceland's Hard Rock Cafe that was a lot of Eurovision covers.
Oh, all right.
Which I like, just as thinking of someone who, knowing that he has to go to all the pre-party events, like, he can do his 2017 entry. He can do Dancing Lasha Tumbai.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a super fun one. He can do Euphoria. He can do all the things.
All right.
Honestly, he can probably do Hatred Mood Cigarette. I would love to hear it. I'm super excited to watch that final. They have a lot of cool stuff in the mix, and I would love to see who gets to play with Netflix's money.
Ooh.
Yeah, because, like, can you imagine, think about things on a Netflix budget?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm the most excited about them, because they would, I feel like they would have the most fun with. Also happening on the 29th, because apparently that's the only day we can do these things.
Mm-hmm. Moldova, well, so it's a leap year. It's like, you it's only get this opportunity.
It's a leap year. We only get one of these every 4 years. Yeah. We all have to have our final on it.
Yeah. And the fact that it's on a Saturday, like.
The
stars are aligning.
The stars are aligning, and 20 of them are in Moldova for the final. Too many people. Please remove 5 of them. I will settle for a 15-person final, Moldova. Alternately, just pick your entry, please.
Yeah. Although, from what is available on Spotify, because like not all of the tracks are available at the moment, there are a lot of fun ones in there. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a good chance that Wedding Party Moldova may be back.
It's so, back. I'm so happy. It's my favorite Moldova.
Yeah, it's my favorite Moldova. Yeah.
I have listened to Pasha Parfeny's song about wine, and I'm just like, yes, mm-hmm. Let's do it.
That's all Saturday. On Sunday, as we mentioned earlier, Serbia will have their final. Greece will be dropping Supergirl. And Romania will have their national selection for Roxanne's song. I really like all of them. Like, I think Romania's going to do some magic this year. I think this change up in format might be what the doctor ordered. Like, I think, we mentioned last week that there were comparisons to Dua Lipa and Billie Eilish, and I hear it now, and I like what I'm hearing. I definitely recommend checking out Romania if you have the chance. That one will probably be on YouTube. I know that their website player can be kind of finicky with geo-blocking, but then the YouTube broadcast last year, I don't believe that was geo-blocked, but yeah. Keep an eye on our Twitter. We'll have updates.
We will have the links. Weekend.
So, yeah. But man, oh man, there's just going to be a lot in this coming week. So
many things. I am already stockpiling meats and cheeses for a charcuterie board.
Mm-hmm.
To just sort of graze my way through the buffet of semifinals we have. Semifinals and finals.
Yeah, yeah. Like we are at 14 songs at this point. We will be into the 20s by this time next week. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So that's going to do it for this episode of The Year What. Thanks for listening. The Year What podcast is hosted by Ben Smith. That's me. And Mike McComb.
That's me.
You can find us on our website at yearwhat.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Year What. We'd love to hear your comments, questions, and topics we should talk about in future episodes. You can subscribe to The Year What on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcast app of your choice. Be sure to check out our Spotify playlist inspired by this week's episode. We'll be back next week to try and make sense of, oh no, there are so many finals, Mike. So many finals. There will be so many new things next week.